Thank you, Adam.
Well, greetings to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and greetings to all those who are online or anyone who is watching this, listening to this at a later date and time. I greet you as well. So you can see my sermon is titled "A Spiritual Survival Kit." You know, and I was thinking about this because it's part of my job. I go out and teach people at a range, and so I have to be prepared for emergencies. And I learned a lot of this stuff over the years when I wasn't prepared for some kind of emergency. It takes time away, and so I ended up having to build a first aid kit, you know, specific to my needs at the range. You know, so I have a backpack that I always take with me. It's always there. It has, you know, extra water in it because people get hot and they get dehydrated. It has sunscreen in it. It has Band-Aids, and it has hats and sunglasses, and, you know, it has all these things in there that I've learned over the years that I need to have extra things, extra ear protection, you know, because if I don't have them, then it detracts from the class. We got to stop. We got to go out and do things, you know. But if you're prepared, you know, you can handle things, and it makes those little, you know, inconveniences instead of, you know, a tragedy. So, but spiritually speaking, I think we should be prepared as well. And, you know, another thing I think back on is we used to do like these team building things. And one of the things they would give you is they would give you this scenario that took place, you know, and it was like some kind of like survival scenario. And usually there's like this frantic like time element, you know, like, hey, you're on a sinking ship and you've got just a few minutes to grab some things. Here's these things in front of you. Well, what are you going to grab? You know, oh, you're out in the desert, you know, or you're in the forest, you're in the Arctic, you know, you name the place. And there's a survival scenario where you have to come together and you have to work as a team to figure out what it is that you're going to take with you. So here's our survival situation. You know, our plane has crashed in the desert. You know, we've decided we can't stay here for whatever reason. You know, it's usually counter to what survival people tell you. Usually won't tell you to stay where you're at. So for whatever reason, we can't stay. We got to go. So we have to choose some things. We have a small backpack. We're going to choose some things that we're going to take with us. All right, small bag, it only holds 5 things. That's all we can take. So we got some trail mix. All right, couple bags of trail mix. We have some water in some containers. We can take that with us. We have a signaling mirror right there. That's among the things that we can take with us. I've got a first aid kit. We got some maps. There's our rain poncho. And we got a gallon of gasoline, got a compass, got a flashlight, and we got a knife, and we got a rope, and we got a shovel. So, if we're in the middle of the desert, you know, what are the things? We can only take 5 of these things. What are the things you think we'd want to take? You know, let me go back and look at them again, because why not? You know, we got some food, we got some water, signaling mirror, first aid kit, we got maps. We got a poncho, gallon of gas, compass, flashlight, a knife, a rope, and a shovel. So you can only take 5 of those things. What are the 5 things you're going to take? You know, so you'd have to look at all that, and you have to kind of decide, you know, what do I know about these things? Do I know how to use each of these? You know, I'm sure everyone in here probably has a basic idea of how to use a shovel, but maybe not everybody knows how to tie good knots with a rope, you know. It might not be so useful to me. You know, that check the knife. Is it sharp? Is it even worth taking? Is it dull? I don't know. Is the food really old? You know, how much water can it carry? You know, there's all these things that we got to think about. You know, what are my conditions that I'm in? You know, it's really hot. Probably going to want to take, you know, water. You know, if I'm walking, you know, what do I need to take with me that's going to help me survive? So, you know, these are all these scenarios that you get together in groups and you talk about, and everybody gets together and collectively you think about it, what it is that you can use and why. So on this particular one, these are the things that I picked. First thing, we're out crashed in the desert. Water, right? Gotta have water. We can survive a few days, maybe, without water. But if we're walking, we're going to need water, right? And so that would be like the number one thing, in my opinion, what we should take. Next thing I would say is maybe the trail mix. All right, if we're going to be walking, we're going to be expending energy. I want to replace that energy for walking. The signal mirror. I think that's very important. If we're stuck and our plane has crashed and we're leaving the initial crash site, we want to be able to signal people. You know, and we want to be found, right? That's the goal, is to survive and get found. So that would be a way of signaling to people without, you know, a radio or something that takes batteries. Just use it off the sun. You flash. Hopefully someone will see that. And then you can get rescued. I thought I'd take the emergency poncho. You know, if it's hot, I might be able to build some kind of small shelter to keep me out of the sun, you know, because the sun can beat down on you. And then the last thing I thought I would take would be the first aid kit. So that was my list. Now, your list might be a little different, and that's okay. But this is what I decided I would take if I was in this scenario. I could only take these five things with me. You know? And the reason I said that, because, you know, first we got to survive the elements, water, and food that's going to get us through. And we want to get it out. You know, poncho is going to protect us. Signal mirror, it's going to get us, you know, communication to someone else, get us out of there. First aid kit, it'll, if I get a bump or a bruise or something like that, I can help treat it, you know, make it, maybe not take it away, but make the trip a little bit easier. So that's my reasoning. That's what I would take if I had that scenario. So, but we're not here to talk about survival scenarios. What we are here to talk about is, you know, our spiritual needs. What is in your spiritual survival kit? You know, we all come to a point in our lives where we get, something happens. We have a bout of depression, sadness, we get disillusioned, we get upset, we get angry, you know, we lose something, we lose someone, you know. And so there are different tools that we can use to help survive, you know, spiritual challenges, or even just, you know, life in general. Life is, can be a challenge for a lot of people. So we need to pack into our bag, you know, some things to help us survive. So what's the first thing? Item number one. I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And if you go into 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter, it says similar thing, much shorter verse, verse 107 to 108. Wherefore the Lord hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. So in my spiritual survival kit, my number one is I have to have charity. If I don't have charity, if I don't have that love of Christ, scriptures are quite plain. I am nothing without it. Everything else hinges on it. Everything else depends on it. If I don't have charity, nothing else matters. I can do all, it talked about moving mountains, understanding all things. Well, those are, we would love to see those things. But if we had them, not coupled to charity, it's worthless. And so that's going to be the number one item that we need to pack away in our, into our kit. It's like water, right? You got to have it. If you don't have water, you begin to shut down very soon. Just a couple of days and you're going to pass away without water. Doesn't take much, especially if you're in a desert. Charity is the same way. If you don't have charity, nothing else matters. You are going to wither and die. If you don't have that love, if you don't have that kindness towards other people, if you're not thinking good thoughts, if you're rejoicing in iniquity, you know, if you're happy in sin, you don't have charity. If you don't have patience, long-suffering, all these things, this charity encompasses so many things. You know, this pure love, this all-encompassing love for our fellow man, you know, given to us by God, exampled by God, and that He gave everything for us. And so we've got to do the same. We've got to give everything back to Him. Without it, nothing else on the list matters. Nothing else we do matters. We've got to do this with love for one another and love for the Lord. Greatest commandment, when He was asked, when Jesus was asked, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy might. Second is likened to it, love your brother like yourself. You know, this charity, this love, it's so important. Everything else hinges on it. So we've got to have charity. Got to have your water, your spiritual water. It's vital. It matters. It matters in what we do, and how we do it. You know, if we do things in love, we'll get much better response. If we think in loving terms, you know, our outlook changes. It is so much. It is just everything that we need. Most important ingredient. So that's the number one item. Most important. Move on. So what's the number two item? In 1 Nephi, in 3rd chapter, verse 68, and it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. Matthew 4:4, but he answered, said to them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this is the word of God, our scriptures. Yeah, we have our Bible, we have our Book of Mormon, we have these things. They're going to help guide us. It describes it in Nephi as this rod of iron, something that we can hang on to, something we refer back to, something that will keep us on track. It's going to keep us headed in the right direction. These scriptures that we have to have, we've got to refer to them. We've got to look at them. We've got to know them. I was in the hospital with my wife, and this gentleman came in, and he began talking to my mom. My wife talks to everyone, and she's chatty. She starts chatting, and this guy started chatting back, and I did not agree with everything he had to say, but I was incredibly impressed at his knowledge of the scripture. He was spouting out scriptures and popping them out like you wouldn't believe, and quoting them. I was like, and I didn't really say much because I was a little afraid. I was like, I don't think I can contend with this guy. I'm not prepared because I haven't been looking at my scriptures like this guy obviously has. But that was, you know, that's my fault. I hadn't been looking at my scriptures. He had some strange ideas, and he had a silver tongue too. Any guy could, he was whipping up a story, and I could see how he could get people to agree with him, you know. But you know, he knew. He was able to look and quote and cite. He was able to refer back, you know, and make his case. And that's what we need to do. You know, that's what it's going to keep us. If we have a problem, we don't know what the answer is. Well, we've been given direction. We've been given a manual. You know, nothing is new under the sun. There's no temptation. There's no sin that's new. We've been dealing with it ever since the beginning. And there's an answer to all of it inside our scriptures. And so we have to have it. It's just like our food. It's that energy that keeps us going. You know, we can go a long time without food, not as long as water, but it keeps you going. You know, if you fast, you know, for a week, you're probably not ready to go out and, you know, hike a mountain the day after. You know, your body doesn't have energy. You've got to have it in order to function. You know, we have to have the Word of God in order to function. It's going to keep us grounded. It's going to keep us back where we need to be. And it's something that's so easy. You know, it doesn't take a huge amount of time every day. I can have a Bible app on my phone. It sends me scriptures every day. You know, it's coming to me. It's so easy now. It takes so little effort. It can come to you. All you have to do is look at it. Find it. Seek it out. Feed yourself daily, weekly. You know, How many of you eat once a week? No one, right? No one eats once a week. Often do we read our scriptures? We come in and listen to the preacher on Sunday once a week? Is that enough? Is that going to keep us going? I think not. We need more. No, it's going to keep us going. Headed towards the mark. For our third item, I'm going to go to Hebrews in the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4, I'm going to start in 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like you and I, as I were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Alma 16, 221 to 222, but this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for the welfare, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. So we have our signal, our signaling mirror, right? We've got to communicate with God. We have got to pray. It's an important item. It's communication. You know, it says we should go before him boldly because he knows what we've been through. He was tempted as we are tempted. He was hungry like we were hungry. He was sad like we're sad. He knows these things. We have this advocate, this high priest, Jesus Christ. And he goes before God on our behalf if we pray. We pray in the name of our Savior. He goes before God. He's our advocate. And we got to pray, like it says here, pouring out your soul. Now, it's not just quick prayer over breakfast and off I go to work. You know, a pouring out of your soul. Are you drawn out in thought? Are you laying down your concerns? Are you asking him, oh, Lord, what is it can I do today? What do I need to do? Where am I short? Lord, help me. And it's not even that. You all day long, we're thinking, you know, in prayer. What is it about I'm doing that can help me get closer to you? Is there anything here, Lord, that I can do? Is there any word I can speak to someone, some encouragement, some kind act? Is there something that I can do, Lord? Yeah, I know I just work as, you know, I'm a janitor. Not the most glorious thing. But, you know, if we prayed in that, you know, he'll present us with opportunity. And if we're praying and we're studying and have charity, we'll be effective. We can do this. You know, it's this signal. Letting God placing all of our troubles, our concerns, our hopes before him. And he hears. He sees us. Our signaling device. He sees that flashing. I'm in distress. And I need your help. I don't know what to do. I need your guidance. You go before him boldly. Not timidly, because he knows. He bought us. He purchased us with a price. And he knows our hearts. And he knows it through our prayer, through our thought. The welfare of the soul and for the welfare of those around you. Are you praying for people around you? He even tells us we need to pray for our enemies. Those that despitefully use us. Those who do not have our best interests in mind. We get a signal. Signal to God. I need help with this person. They're driving me crazy today. They're grating on my nerves. What do I say to them, Lord? How do I put it? I need your help. So what's the fourth item? All right, 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter, verse 60. Because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. If you go into Revelations in the 3rd chapter, verses 4 to 5. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This cloak, this coat of righteousness, you know, it protects us from sin. If we, you know, you look at the word righteousness, it means choosing what's right. And again, if we're studying our Bible, we will know. We're studying our scriptures. We have given to us what is right. And if we are choosing what's right, we'll be protected. Interestingly enough, you know, you read in the scriptures, you find several places where, hey, your garments are stained. You know, where none of us are immune from sin. We all commit it from time to time. But it also goes on to say in those same scriptures, you know, you can be washed clean in the blood of our Savior. We're made clean through Him. But choosing righteousness, it keeps that sin off. It keeps it out. Just like that poncho, a rain poncho. It's going to keep us protected from the sun, keep us protected from the rain. Keeps us warm, keeps us dry. Same thing with righteousness. It's going to cover us. It keeps sin at bay, choosing what is right. If we choose what is right, He calls us His own. You think about that. Jesus Christ Himself goes before God. They are choosing right. They are mine. How powerful is that? What a wonderful promise. He'll go on our behalf. You know, and He will not blot our names out. Keeps us there. Again, it's a survival thing. We have to choose what's right. We have to keep the sin away. Keep our garments clean. And occasionally, you know, we falter. We fall. We make mistakes. He understands it. You know, there's beauty again. There's a path. Forgiveness. We can be forgiven. All we have to do is ask. With intent. I'm sorry. I know I've made you upset. I grieved your spirit, Lord. Give me strength to overcome. Love that scripture in 2 Nephi where he's talking about, you know, may I shake at the appearance of sin. Make me that, Lord. So I'm afraid, as I should be. Make me choose the right. Make me fear sin and choose what's right. Number five. If you go into Ether, in the 3rd chapter, 11th verse. And they did sing praises unto the Lord. Yea, the brother of Jared did sing praises unto the Lord. He did think and praise the Lord all the day long. When the night came, they did not cease to praise the Lord. It's an interesting scripture. If you read that, it's in the middle of their journey at sea. And if you read the scriptures before, it says, you know, they were being pushed around by the waves. They were locked inside this boat. I think it was 340 days, if I remember right, where they left. And they journeyed 340 days inside a capsule with their family and their animals. What were they doing? You know, in the midst of this, they're singing the praises. And it talks about the boat getting rocked, and it says, you know, there was these animals in the deep, and they couldn't crush the boat. You know, so they were getting bumped around, getting tossed, and here they are. These small stones that are lighting up their capsules, and they're singing these praises. In the midst of this ocean, they're completely out of control. A lot of people that would give anxiety to being completely and utterly out of control. Inside this sealed wooden box, floating on the ocean. So how do they handle it? Well, they sang praises to their God, and he heard them. He didn't take away, you know, the rough waves, but he brought them to the promised land. He heard their worship. Colossians in the third chapter, 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do we sing like that? When you come into a song service, is this how you look at it? Is your heart filled with grace? Do you feel like you're speaking to your God? You should. You know, I'll be honest. I really enjoy our song services. I love coming in. You know, it's each song we sing. You know, the words. You know, they each have a slightly different message. And I could have had a rough day, depressing day, sad day. You know, I can come in here, and not that all my problems are gone. I can sing praises. I can sing. It soothes the heart. I'm just like the first aid kit. You know, put a Band-Aid over an open wound. You know, it doesn't take the wound away, but it does feel better. Starts the healing process a little faster. Keeps infection out. You know, coming in and singing praises to our God. You know, teaching one another. I love that in Colossians. You know, teaching one another. We can learn. You know, every hymn that's in there, somebody felt the need. They felt inspired to write those words. Where do you think that inspiration came from? Just out of the blue? Oh, you know, God probably had something to do with that. You know, those words mean something. Not just something on a page that we sing over and over again. You know, it's vital. Singing praise, worshiping God. It's going to help us survive. It's going to help us get through. Even when we're in the midst of anxiety, midst of worry, oceans tossing us around. You know, we can still sing praises. We have so much to be thankful for. There are so many things. I find it's worth it to, you know, I think everyone should do some kind of service. You know, where they go out and they serve other people. Where you go out in another country, where you go and you have to at least kind of see how most of the rest of the world just lives. To really truly appreciate what we've got here. And even those people, you see them, they sing praises. They sing, their hearts full of grace. You know, they may not even be able to read or write. You can't go far distances, but you know what? They use what God gave them. And they sing his praises. I believe he hears them. So how do you sing? Sometimes I get more out of song services than I do for prayer services, you know, because I feel like we're just, you know, I'm singing to the Lord. And it lifts me up. Soothes my heart. Now, we have to choose what we take with us wisely. That there is a gold bar. That's worth a lot of money. Now you can see that person's hand in there, kind of give you a little size reference. That's probably about, I'm guessing, like, gosh, somewhere in the ballpark of 100 pounds of gold right there. Big chunk of gold. Anybody know what the market value for an ounce of gold is? It's about $2,000 for an ounce. So you can imagine that 50 pounds of gold right there is worth a lot of money. I could handle, buy me a new house, a new car, I'd still have enough left over, right? You could do a lot. a donation to the church. I can do all sorts of things with this chunk of gold here. But you know, if I'm trying to survive, and my plane has crashed, is that hunk of gold going to help me survive? Probably not, you know. It's not really going to aid in my survival. You know, it's really just going to weigh me down. You know, 50 pounds, extra 50 pounds, I'm in the desert. We got a little bit of water, a little bit of food, and I got an extra 50 pounds in my body. You know, that's gonna hinder my performance. I'm not going to be able to walk as far. I'm going to be expending more energy, expending more sweat, losing more water. And that thing, which outside the survival situation would have great value, becomes absolutely worthless. It's of no value. And the same thing applies in our spiritual survival kit. We've got to be careful what we're choosing to carry. Sometimes people like to carry regret. Sometimes people carry remorse, sadness, depression. There's lots of things we carry. Anxiety. We carry these things weigh us down. And we're not able to perform. We can't do it. You know, because we're weighted down. You know, cares on the life weigh us down. Stresses in life weigh us down. And you got to remember, it's not about this life. It's about the next. So it really doesn't truly matter if I've got the job I always wanted, if I've got all the relationships I've always wanted. You know, I can have all those things. You know, I gain the whole world and still lose my soul. So we got to choose wisely. Alma, 19th chapter, 19th verse. Therefore I command you, my son, in the fear of God, that you refrain from your iniquities, that you turn to the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength, that you lead away the hearts of no more to do wickedly, but rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults, and retain the wrong which ye have done. Seek not after riches or the vain things of this world, for behold, you cannot carry them with you. Now this is, Alma's given his son some advice. His son has left the ministry. He's done some, he's actually gone and he's taken people away. You know, reversed the work that they had done. His father's telling him, you've got to turn around. You know, you may be getting somewhere in the eyes of the world. You might be gaining with people here. You might be getting acceptance or notoriety or fame or fortune by doing what you're doing. But that's a short-term thought process. You're weighing yourself down. And you're not going to survive. You're not going to make it to the next life. Because you've got to change your thinking. You got to go back. You got to right your wrongs. Acknowledge that you were wrong in what you did. Now don't seek for riches. You can't carry it with you. When you die, even your body stays behind. Your soul is going on. You can't take it with you. Hebrews in 12th chapter, the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's another thing. We got to cast these things aside and move forward. You know, if we're going to get out of that desert, we're going to survive. Got to take one step at a time. We got to move forward. It doesn't happen overnight. We're going to falter. We're going to make mistakes, but we have to be patient. We have to move forward with patience. You know, we didn't get ourselves into our mess overnight. Usually it's after a very long train of poor decisions, poor relationships, bad judgments that we make. know, it takes time to get out of some of that stuff. Matter of fact, some of those things may be with us for our life. We may never be able to get completely out from our decisions. But the beauty of it is that God doesn't forever judge us. And if we're patient, and we keep moving in the direction towards Him, we'll get there. I found this quote from a man named Tony Robbins. He's an author, kind of a motivational speaker guy. He says, "It's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives. It's what we do consistently." And I thought how true that is. You know, most of the time, we don't spend on vacation. Most of the time, we don't do grand things. You know, most of our life is really spent in the details, the small things. You know, how do I treat my wife every day? If I can get that right, I'm doing well. How do I treat my children every day? If I can get that right, you know, every day, and be consistent, I'm winning the battle. If I go to work, I treat my coworkers correctly. If I go to school, I treat my fellow students correctly. And I do what's right consistently. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to be the missionary that goes out and converts hundreds of new souls. What's going to shape your life? That's those small things that we do. I was listening to the radio, it's been some years ago, but I remember this couple was talking, and they had been married for some time, and the man was a pastor of some kind. He's some kind of traveling missionary, and he was all in on his missionary work. He was absolutely in, and he would go off, and I think it was Africa. He was going to Africa and come back for a short time, and then go back to Africa, and he was leaving his wife behind. He was thinking, I'm doing this awesome thing. I'm going out. I'm spreading the gospel. I'm sharing what Jesus told me to share. I'm doing right. He'd come back and be like, he would tell his wife about all the things he was doing, all the, you know, the knowledge he was dispensing, the souls that he was claiming to save. And one day, he came home and he was telling, he's all excited, telling his wife. She looks at him, says, "You know, I can't do this anymore. If you leave again, I'm not going to be here when you come back." And he had to stop. He had to think. He had to reevaluate. He's like, this was my responsibility. My wife and my children. I have a responsibility to them, and I neglected it. So he had to stop. He had to scale back. You know, he got so distracted by, you know, doing something the grand that he forgot what was important. There's this important little family he had, his little children he had, his wife that he had, completely neglected to the point where she's like, "I don't care what you're doing anymore. I don't want any part of it. I'm alone." And fortunately, because I was listening to that conversation, they had made amends, and he had scaled back, paid attention more to his family. They had, you know, a great relationship at the time. You know, it's those little things, those things that we need to do day in, day out, consistently. You know, and then we'll get it right. All right. Forgot to tell you there was a test at the end. So, our spiritual survival kit. What is our number one? Charity, that's right. Got to have charity. Without it, nothing else matters. All right, what's our number two? Word of God, that's right. Word of God, our scriptures. Got to refer to those every day or often. It's not hard to get a scripture sent to you every day. I recommend it. Oh, I gave you that one. Got a little punchy with the buttons. Number three, prayer. Prayer, we've got to maintain that communication daily, throughout the day. Always be thinking of prayers. That was the number four. Righteousness. That's right. Righteous living. Choosing what's right keeps that sin away. It keeps that sin off of us. And what was our number five? Worship, right? Worship and praise. So here, if we are consistent in charity and those little things, if we're consistent in the Word of God, if we're consistent in prayer, if we're consistent in righteous living, if we're consistent in worship and praise, we are going to survive. Thank you for your time.